Diagrams. And so we had a look, I think we went through and looked at the answer to the previous question. So I'll just go through that while that's booting up there. So we'll just flip this over. So I need to turn the light on. Okay, so that's a bit better. So, okay, that's reflecting off a bit, but that's fine. So, so it's kind of got this weird scale on, but do we have any more that just have the...
The
scale of radicals? So, we couldn't find any.
So those are
we're getting to those.
Oh, okay.
You want the...
Do we have any?
Yeah.
Do we have any? Oh, no, do we have just, we don't have the, just that, that's fine. Ah, okay, that would be good. Okay, so, so we had the XCT, so that's the Earth's reference frame, and then we found out, so I guess I want to go 2.5 units up there, 1.5 units along, that will get me here, so that will give me a slope of 5/3, which is equal to C divided by V in this case. So that gives me the world line for the spaceship, so again, we've got this spaceship moving along. And what we want to do is find where it transforms between Earth's coordinate frame and spaceship's coordinate frame. So what we need to do is we need to get the axis for the spaceship's coordinate frame. So we did that. See T-axis there. Now, every single point along there is a point that the spaceship passes through in time. But if it passes through in time, then that's where its origin is. So that's where the spaceship is. And so these are all the points that... have the value of x dash equals 0, because that's where the spaceship is. It's not moving relative to itself. So it never gets any further than, I mean, it always stays at x dash equals 0. And so that equation defines its time axis, just as if you think of someone on Earth, they're just going up, they have a world line just going up like that. And just their world line defines their time axis, so the spaceship's world line finds its time axis. And so back, we can continue it here. This is going into negative time. And so back at some time, I guess, minus capital T dash there, it sent out a ray of light. So it went out. So that should be at 45 degrees. So approximately 45. And, for example, we had a mirror that was moving along with it, that it hit the mirror. So basically, kind of, I had this sense of time sort of flowing up with the pace. So time's flowing up, hits the mirror, and it bounces back. And again, we've got to do it at a 45-degree angle. And why we do it at a 45-degree angle is, what speed does someone on Earth see the light traveling at? Even though it was sent from the spaceship, and the spaceship is traveling at, they're really high speeds, exactly the same as it was with the toboggan, and what speed you see the light rushing towards you at. It's C for everyone, it's always C. That's what the answer is. So I've got to draw that at a 45 slope, because in that case, C over V C over C, which is 1, which gives us a slope of 1. So that's what it looks like. And we all saw that was, I think the answer was B, is that right? B, great. So this is really, we're getting this picture of what's happening. And so this is one point here, and so this is time plus t. So if the spaceship is moving, the mirror is moving along with the spaceship, and so it starts times 90, bounces off, hits the mirror, and then comes back, then the time in the spaceship's frame of the event of the light hitting the mirror, well, it's going to be halfway between time minus t and plus t, and well, that's time t dash equals 0, so that's time t dash equals 0. So that's one point. And just as, so, okay, so let's say we want to find the x-axis Well, that's defined by finding, again, if you think of all the points on the x-axis, well, they correspond to the line t equals 0, or ct equals 0. So if we want to find the x-dash axis, we find all the points, that the locus of points for which t-dash equals 0. And again, we just join all the dots, and we find the line. Although, if we're being a bit clever, we might think, well, we've got one point on this axis, and the origins are going to coincide. So where the point ct equals 0, x equals 0, I mean, it'd be pretty weird if special relativity was so strange that the two axes or the two reference frames had different origins. So it's kind of probably that this point here is going to be t dash equals 0, this origin. And so if we have one point with t dash equals 0, another point with it, then, you know, the x dash equals, or the x dash coordinate, I guess, axis, it's probably going to be a straight line. So if we have two points, that defines a straight line. So we can just draw a straight line in crossing these points, like this. And lo and behold, that is what gives us our x dash axis there. Actually, is there another color I can use? Does anyone have a red? Great, thank you. Green. Okay, great. All the colors. Okay, so really, just to highlight it, so it's kind of a strange thing, but again, you know, this is special relativity, it's Einstein, so something's got to give, something's to be strange. But that is they're the axes for the moving spaceship's frame. So they're not at right angles to each other. They're sort of 45 degrees or whatever the angle is between them. But that is the analog of a frame moving at constant velocity. So that's Galilean. A Galilean, something like that. Okay, that's Galilean. So this is relativity. This is Einstein. So we've got the axis. So, and slope of that, the interesting thing is that's actually, if we draw a line here, this corresponds to the dotted line in the middle, 45 degree angle. So if that corresponds to something moving away from the Earth at the speed of light. So that would be someone on Earth shining a laser beam out, and the light moves away from the Earth, or the origin of the Earth, at, well, the speed of light. So what, so the velocity of that, so the ratio of C over V is 1, and so that actually moves away there. And this axis here is the, if we actually reflect this axis by around the line y equals x on a 45 degree line, we get the other one. So the angles in there are actually the same. So the slope of this is actually V over C. And why that is fundamentally, so we have this thing called space and time, or space-time relativity, and there's no fundamental distinction between space and time. And because what we see as space, someone else sees, some other observer sees as space and time all being mixed up and combined together. And what we see as time, someone else, another observer, another reference frame, actually sees, again, as space and time being mixed up. So again, Minkowski, you know, you cannot distinguish between space and time. They all merge into one thing. And if that's the case, then, you know, it's probably likely that what's going to be happening is that you get a similar thing for your, a lot of symmetry and commonality between your time and your space axes. And so this is what you find. One's just a reflection of the other. One's about the line y equals x. So actually, if everyone could actually, I think that's the next exercise. So what I'd like everyone to do now is actually draw the x dash axis on their space-time diagram. So I think you have the ct dash axis, but draw it on. And make sure you get the slope right. Should I have the slope of B over C? You got it?
Just as you settled on in there, folks, the book recommendations and the internet recommendations, did they all end up with Roberta, or did some get lost in the shuffle? Because I'm thinking it's a little thin still. I just kind of had to. You read New York.
Did my two apps get put together?
I got into the stuff you gave me.
Okay, because I had the information that went along with it on a different sheet.
I think there might be some actually.
And then they just have to do that. Yeah. The recommendation
for being
yes.
So this is from the perspective of the patient.
So we have our axes. We have our second reference frame. We know what the slopes to draw are. So what we are in position now is to see torally length contraction or time dilation length contraction between parallels. This is those three things are what we're going to get through. So hopefully everyone has the notes for second week. The second day, sorry. Tell you what I mean.
Second part, yeah.
Core concepts of special relativity part two. So what we'll do is move on to time dilation. So a lot of you will know time dilation. A lot of you, will do it with your students, but I'll just review it quickly. So time dilation. So what we have is, so again, we've got the light clock, the regular process that ticks out time with a light clock. And we have a mirror here, And again, the photons just bouncing back and forth. And this reference frame, someone rests relative to the clock. It bounces up, goes distance 2L. And so the time that it takes to do that is just distance divided by speed, so 2L divided by speed, we have that. And here, someone moving very quickly, or at any velocity really, to the left, then they see the clock is moving to the right. So the light takes this diagonal path, it goes up and then down. And so we do the same thing. Time equals distance divided by speed in that frame. But we've got this diagonal distance here. And the diagonal distance, well, the distance L up here, and distance D divided by 2 here. So the distance of this hypotenuse is L squared plus D divided by 2, all squared, and take the square root of that. That's this distance here. Double that, that's why we have the factor of 2, because we have 1, 2 of them there. And then the speed, and again, this is a strange thing. In Newtonian physics, this would actually be larger, because the person's moving away from the light, or the source of the light. You think of the source of the light there, you're moving away from it, so it would give this additional relative velocity. If we actually did the calculations in Newtonian physics, this additional velocity would be just enough for time dilation to actually disappear. So you don't get time dilation in Newtonian physics. Basically because the additional velocities are what we would normally expect it to be. But because we have this weird, strange thing, everyone measures the speed of light to be seen. That's the kind of postulate of special relativity. And it's not something you purely have to take on faith. There's many, many, many experiments that have proved it. We talked a little bit about one where we had a pion going 99.9% the speed of light. That shot out a photon. And that traveled away from, well, the pion at 100% the speed of light, but also the scientists in the laboratory saw it moving towards them, not at 199.9% speed of light, but just C. So very well verified. So this is what we have. But we also know that the D, this distance here, well, this distance is just distance is given by velocity multiplied by time. So D equals V multiplied by T dash. We have to have T dash the time in this moving frame, S dash here, because it might not be the same as what the frame is in the stationary frame. So we get this equation here. So I think what we want to do is just move the C over to the other side. And yeah, move the C over into the numerator and then square both sides. And if we do that, we'll get C multiplied by delta T dash all squared. And then we'll get a 4 here, and then the square root will disappear, obviously. So we get something like this here. And then if we take the, first of all we have a 4, and there's a 4 in the denominator there, so they cancel each other out. And so if we take the V delta T dash all squared, move it over to the other side, because it's initially plus, now it becomes a minus, and so we get a minus delta T dash squared multiplied by V squared, and the minus sign there, but we have, that's also, on that side is this term here, so there's a common factor of delta T dash squared, so we can actually take that out the front and we get this expression here, so C squared minus V squared. But if we have, looking at this frame here, if we square this equation, what we have is delta T squared equals 4L squared divided by C squared. So we have this equation here, just equate this and this, and that gives us this expression here. So delta T dash squared divided by delta T squared equals C squared divided by C squared minus V squared. Okay. So we then take the square roots of both sides, and actually I guess we have to divide by C squared on the right hand side, divide the denominator, or divide by C squared over C squared, that gives us 1 in the numerator and then 1 there, and that gives us V squared minus divided by C squared. So it's dividing the top and bottom on the right-hand side by C squared. We can do that. That's equal to 1. And then, so we get 1 minus V squared to 1 minus V over C all squared, but we've taken the square root of both sides, so we get the square root there. And then if we look at that, hey, that kind of looks familiar. That's the Lorentz factor, or the gamma factor of special relativity. So it's a factor that's just found so often, we actually give it a special symbol, gamma letter, the Greek alphabet. So we replace that by that and then take the delta t to the numerator, and we actually get this, which is the time dilation formula for special relativity. And that's the standard formula. And really what that tells us, again, if we're looking at something traveling at, so delta t is the time in the rest frame. So again, if we're looking at, or we're looking at something, a spaceship full of Klingons, they're traveling past us at some humongous speed, half the speed of light, and we're looking at some process in that spaceship. So we're looking at a clock. It's this big war clock in the Klingon spaceship. We're looking at that ticking away. So we see that basically between, say, that starting and then ticking over 10 seconds, for example, we, or actually an alarm going off in that clock. The Klingons in the spaceship might see that time between the 10 seconds is just 10 seconds, or the alarm goes off after 10 seconds. So that would be the delta T there. Often delta T zero could be the proper time. But we see a longer time. We see the time as being stretched out. So one intuitive way of thinking of gamma is of the time slowdown factor. So I find helpful to plot gamma as a function of V, the velocity. So,
Damien, I was just going to say that second last line in our notes is incorrect.
Is it? Oh.
Oh, V and C are
incorrect. Oh,
yeah, okay. Sorry about that. Thank you. So I think in the notes you have C of V. Thank you. Okay. Okay. So... okay, so what we have... yeah. So if we're actually to plot, so gamma equals... if actually plot gamma as a function of V, then when V equals 0, we have 0 divided by C, which is 0. 1 minus 0 is 0, square root of 1 is 1. So we just 1 over 1. V equals 0, gamma equals 1. And as V gets larger, what we find is it's 1 with 1, we take away something from 1, so this will be less than 1. And if you take the square root of something less than 1, then you get something less than 1, although it's a little bit greater. So the denominator here always turns out to be less than this, the numerator, so gamma is always greater than 1. And as you actually ramp up the velocity, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the time you actually get up to the velocity, you see it's actually infinite. And you can see that because if you put C in the formula there, you get C divided by C, which is 1. 1 minus 1 gives you 0. So you get 0, 1 over 0, which is infinity. And so you can think of this gamma as a time slowdown factor, or the weirdness factor, or the Lorentz factor. And really, for the everyday velocities, pretty much our entire lives is spent, at least from the point of view of the speed of light, is spent in these minuscule velocities somewhere like this. And this is why, I mean, relativity has been around since the dawn of human civilization. It's been around, we think it's been around for the entire length of the universe. But really, it's only that we've had, well, I mean, direct terrestrial experimental evidence for it since we've had a particle accelerator about being able to get tiny, tiny particles up to the speed of light. So that is time dilation. So what I will show you is actually a little kind of video explaining that. So this is one that I like. Okay. So just go down a bit. Relativity. That's Einstein light. And I'll give you the website. So this is a kind of a nice site from Australia. I don't know how that happened. but it's good. And it's actually, I haven't actually checked all of them out. But you can see the web. Can you read that?
It's actually on our...
It is? Oh, that's great. Okay, fantastic. And so this has got some really, really nice simulations. This one, it goes for a couple of minutes. And really shows you in action, because there's someone speaking about this, really reinforcing what I said. So with the light box. So here we go.
Deep down, most clocks are electromagnetic. Here's another thought experiment using a simple electromagnetic clock. A light pulse reflects between two mirrors inside a car. Zoe is in the car and sees the mirrors to be stationary. For her, each tick of this clock is the time light takes to cross the car, width divided by the speed. This is what we call the proper time, the time observed by someone traveling with the clock. For Jasper, who sees the car pass by, the light pulse follows the hypotenuse of a triangle. For him, the light travels further, but, according to Einstein, it travels at the same speed. Consequently, an observer with respect to whom the clock is moving observes that the clock ticks more slowly. This is called time dilation. It's weird, but it's true, as many experiments have shown. So there is no absolute measurement of time. It follows that there is no absolute measurement of distance. You and I can measure distance in light years, the distance traveled by light in a year. But since we both see the same speed of light, but disagree on the time taken, we'll disagree on the distance as well.
Okay, so that. So it's probably a little bit quick. You have to supplement that if you show your students, because it goes through it very quickly. But I just like the little bit where it actually does show you in motion the light going down the diagonal path. So that could be something that's useful. So. One thing I will mention is, so a number, I think a lot of students say, well, okay, that's all good in theory, but what's the evidence for that, the experimental evidence? And one thing I find is the most useful, I think I've got this in the notes, but there was an experiment done, I think it was 1975, but they actually got two very accurate atomic clocks, and then they put one on Earth. And then they actually put one in a plane and actually flew that around for a long period of time. I think it was actually 24 hours in a plane. And so that was not traveling at 75% the speed of light or 99% the speed of light or something like that. But that still was traveling relative to the clock on the surface of the Earth. And so relativity predict by time dilation the clock up in the air due to special relativity would actually be ticking a little bit slower. So this is kind of complicated because there's some general relativity in there, but if we kind of forget about that for the moment, just looking at special relativity alone, that would predict would still be slower. And then they brought the clocks back down and they just compared the two clocks. And these are macroscopic clocks. These, I've seen photos of them. These are suitcase size clocks. And they actually did find there was a small time difference. Sort of nanoseconds or tens of nanoseconds or something like that. But still, these are incredibly accurate clocks, so you can actually measure those precise time differences. Even though the speeds were nowhere near the speed of light, the Lorentz factors were just above one. But the point is, if you have precise enough measurements, you can see relativity at speeds that aren't too high. If you have really, really precise measurements, and atomic clocks keep clocks, I mean, they would not even lose a second over thousands of years. They're just incredibly, incredibly accurate. So using these, what they actually saw in the experiment with these macroscopic clocks was complete agreement with relativity and with the time dilation formula along with general relativity, but it fitted in completely with the time dilation formula. So time dilation, and we've seen it many, many times in experiments with muons, with other subatomic particles, so it's definitely, I mean, relativity is real. And one thing I'll talk about, another practical tangible example, is the GPS actually uses the time dilation formula. And it necessarily has to use it, or if it didn't, it just completely would not work. And taxi drivers would be going to wrong addresses, and farmers would be plowing their crops in crazy patterns, and planes would be crashing. So it's relativity is very, very real. And that's talking about that tomorrow. So what I'll try and get through, okay, so time dilation. Okay, so what time dilation means, so we've got these axes. So The only thing we need to do is we want to put scales on these red axes. And for x dash and t dash, then how do we put the scales on? So the naive thing would just be to, well, you know, we just would be to do this. We've got this kind of length here and this length here. So we'll just use the same distance between the marks or the ticks on the t dash axis as we have on the t axis. So that's the most naive thing to do. But time dilation tells you that that actually does not work out, and that's wrong. Because what time dilation tells you is that you've got to see this person's clock as running slowly. So this is someone here on Earth, that's how they mark out time. But when 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds has passed for them, we know, for example, we're just talking about time dilation, they see someone moving relative to them as their clock running slowly. So if we have 6 seconds passed for us, we might have to see, say, 5 seconds or 4.5 seconds or some lesser time pass for a clock on a spaceship moving past us full of Klingons at a half the speed of light or 3/4 the speed of light. And so that means if we draw a line across here and find out what event or what time corresponds to our 6 seconds in our reference frame, then the ticks here, then it must be less. It must be only something like 4 seconds, for example. And the only way for you to get to be 4 seconds here is to actually, in a sense, kind of stretch out the grading scale on this axis here, this T dash axis. Because if you have the same scale, the same distance between tick marks on here on the T axis, and the same axis here, then you get this, and what this tells you is you have 6, or actually a little bit more than 6 seconds will have passed, will measure more than 6 seconds will have passed on the clock, we'll actually perceive 6 seconds of light on the clock on the Klingon spaceship, but we don't, because that is not time dilation. So the only time dilation demands that you actually have a stretched out scale here, that this scale on this primed axis is kind of dilated and magnified up, and that's the only way. Yes?
If you have a CT axis at 45 degrees, then you could not put tick marks on it?
Right, yeah, that would be out at infinity, so yeah, correct. So it's very, very, the light from the photon is very weak. So yeah, absolutely. Basically, they get stretched out more and more. And I mean, that's where you get infinite time dilation, so yeah.
On the time dilation axis, are those linear gradations?
So there's equal distance between one, first and the second, and the second and third, the third and the fourth, that's what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. And so this is just simply time dilation demands. Yes?
How do you decide which one is the moving frame and which one is the frame of rest? Because it all depends how you look at it.
Right. Okay, there is no absolute answer to that. It just depends on which perspective. You can look at it from either perspective. And it's just whatever frame you decide to look at things from. But it's strange. You think, well, I seem to be absolutely saying these ones are stretched out. It's strange if you, and we'll see this in a minute, if you look at things from, you know, I see your clock is running slow, you see my clock is running slow. Exactly. It's very strange. But the weird thing is, and we'll see good question, that if you actually look at things from this perspective, then you actually have this. They see their clock as running slow. And so this is strange, because you're thinking, hang on, we actually get here and we actually just move across. Why can't we look at things from the dashed frame and then just move across here? And then I see only 4.5 seconds passed, and he sees 6 seconds passed. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
So we don't have time dilation there.
Yeah.
Right. But so you've actually got to do something. You actually cannot draw the horizontal line across. You have to draw a line actually at a particular angle, and it all makes sense.
If you morph that, you use that one like this, if you morph it back into a normalized graph, would it then change the other one into a compact the time in the other dimension?
If you made this,
the right angle would then turn the other one back into a compact dimension.
Right, so then you'd be looking at things in the space of the reference frame, and then they'd have to be swapped around, so then you'd make this the reference frame, and then the Earth reference frame would look exactly like the, that axis there.
Or
right.
Tilt it the other way.
Tilt it, yes, yeah. Yeah, good point.
Other
direction.
So the X position would have to be negative.
So it's,
yeah. It's like that, yeah. Reflected about the vertical axis. Okay, so... Okay, I'll just get through this before we start the session. So, time dilation. So, consider a black spaceship traveling at half the speed of light. Actually, let's make that 3/5. So, change it to 3/5. I like 3/5. Change it moving at 3/5 of the speed of light past it. At one point, the Klingon on it starts typing. Is that you have that in your version? I have a different one.
Physicists,
okay.
We all know Klingons are physicists.
Okay, so I should get the different... Oh, do I have the different version? Oh, no, maybe I don't. Okay,
what's the only difference in here?
No, it does matter. It matters a lot.
Oh, it says physicist on it.
Actually, does anyone have a spare copy of the notes? Okay, let's go from here. So, okay, so that's better. Just magnify this. You can see, okay, black spaceship traveling at 3/5 of the speed of light. Oops. Okay, that was me. Traveling 3/5 of the speed of light past her, physicist starts typing on her computer, event A. Sometimes later she finishes, so that's event B. So these things take place on Earth. Assuming A happens in Earth reference frame at time T naught at X naught, and B at time plus T. So plot those events on a space-time diagram. So if, maybe if you could wipe off the space-time diagrams you had before. And the plot goes on. So, and plot the axes, the CT axis for Earth, and the X axis. Or just plot them on, or just label them. So, just on Earth. So, it happens at the same location on Earth. So, this one's relatively simple. So, this is just, so I talk about the space, just dealing with the Earth. So, they're talking. Have you got it, Gary? That's it.
And then B, she's still doing the same.
No, stopping. B's stopping. Yeah.
But she never knew she was
sitting. Exactly.
Oh, no, plan A is a lot of hard.
Yeah.
You can't see zero.
Okay.
Well, that's not fair. Yeah. Okay,
so let's make time be. Let's make time be 2 seconds. Play it up.
On Earth.
Person's typing on Earth. Person's, okay, maybe it made that clear. Person's typing, person's typing on Earth. Yes. So, person's typing on Earth. Okay, one more minute. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, we'll go back now. Okay. If I can have your attention, okay. So, great. So all we wanted, so just ignore the cross lines, but all we wanted was CT, X, A, and then B. And the world line is here. So that's... Okay. So that's all I was after. Everyone's happy with that? Okay, great. Moving on. Okay. So we know the time difference between the two events, between A and B. We know it's capital T. But let's say we didn't, and we wanted to, by some kind of, it's a laborious procedure, but let's say we wanted to find out what the time difference was. What we could do is draw a line that was given by the equation T equals zero. So that's a horizontal line actually at down there, and that would be all the points that happen at BAM times zero, and then move it up one, and then find all the points that happen at time one, and then just keep drawing horizontal lines up, increasingly go up and up and up, and these are just time equals one, time equals two, time equals three, and eventually we'll draw a line, and that will actually go through or intersect point B. And when we do that, sort of going up here, we'll draw something like this. That line will be capital T. Should make sure that's a capital T. Capital T equals zero. Sorry. T equals capital T, so that is a line, so that is the time. So that's one way we could.
That's the time the second event occurs?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the time the second event occurs. So it's kind of overkill to do it that way, but we could, we could. So just as we could do that in the that frame, so we can do an analogous thing in the dashed frame to find out the time. And so notice how we did that is the lines that had the same amount of time or constant time, we got those that are parallel to the x-axis. So we know the x-axis is defined by all the points for which time equals 0. So it's defined by the line t equals 0. And so here we have t equals 1. So what we do is we have all these lines and they're parallel to the x-axis. That makes sense because that kind of defines the time 0. And so what we want to do is do the analogous thing in the dashed frame. But we're going to be drawing lines not parallel to the x-axis, but seeing we're in the spaceship's frame, we'll draw lines parallel to the x-prime, absolutely. So essentially that's what we'll do. And let's use up some more paper here. So we just zoom out. So I'll just be another 5 minutes, Glenn. Glenn. I'll just be another 3 minutes.
I've already told him. I've
okay.
got another 10.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay. X. T. A. B. And that's T up there. Okay, so this is what we have. So what we want to do now is if you could actually draw on the axes for the X prime and G prime axis, for the axes for the spaceship, assuming it's going at 3/5 the speed of light. So we know the CT axis will have a gradient of 5/3 and the X dash 3/5. So if you could draw those on. And it turns out that these are actually, some nice person has drawn these on my sheet here. So, oh, actually don't look at this, just, well, okay, you can. So, you know what they look like. So again, you've got these kind of squished frame, if you like, looking at it from a different perspective. But if you could do that for yourself.
I don't know how far apart to make the line.
Oh, right. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So we won't worry about that for now. But the way you could do that is by time dilation. If you know how much the time dilation is, in this case it's we won't worry about that for now, but you could do that because you know the time dilation for this case is actually, it's 4/5 or 5/4 is Lorentz factor. So no, you can't. What you know is time dilation is Lorentz factor is 5/4. So here is 5 seconds, and that corresponds to 4 seconds here. So you know that is before, and you know that is divided up for here. That's one way of doing it. No, because that's the time of other frames. Yeah. Oh, one way of doing it, so if you actually calculate the range factor, that's like five over four. So if, let's say this occurs 5 seconds here, that's got 5 seconds. So if we know that a moving clock runs slowly, so a clock is here. So 5 seconds are freezing right now. We say 4 seconds. So the event is here, so it's going to 5 seconds. It's only the clock 4 seconds. So the same time, it's 5 seconds. It's 4 seconds. So it's here. It's the point where it's 4 or that. So you've got 4 ends divided up on the end. So that's 1 way. Okay. We're drawing the axes on. Okay. So if I can have your attention, please. So what we're going to do is, this is a line here where the, actually I'll draw it in green. So I'm drawing green lines. The green lines are where, well, blue lines. Blue lines are where t dash equals zero. So that's zero time in the dash frame on the spatial. And so to find what we did, remember, we just kept on drawing lines with greater and greater times in the Earth's frame, and we eventually hit up and bam, hit event B, and found out what the time was. So let's again do the analogous thing in the dashed frame. And so we've got this point here, line x dash equals zero. And if we just keep on, drawing lines up here, eventually we get one that passes through point B. And so these lines, I haven't actually given you the spacing for those, but if you assume they're actually distance sort of 1 second apart or 1 unit apart in dash frame, then eventually we just count up how many of those are, and then B actually is the time, corresponds to the time of the line that actually kind of passes through it. So this, hypothetically, if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 here, then we know in the dash frame, then event B occurs at time 6 seconds. So we're doing exactly the same as we did before, except special relativity is a bit weird. We actually have these slanted lines, so they don't have, they're not horizontal, so they have some non-zero gradient. So this is what we do. So, yes?
So in the prime frame, where do we plot T?
Where, how do you know how far apart tick marks?
Well, we can get that from the Lorentz factor, but if I got this frame, let's completely get rid of, in my mind, at least the regular Cartesian scale. We've got just these two at an angle. Where do you point down T?
At the intersection of the CT prime axes with those gradient lines.
Oh, right. Where? Okay, you mean, so if I get another color here, so you mean when you're on the, do you have green? Does anyone have green? Okay, so you mean on this axis we go, let me see, we go 1, 2, 3, for example. Where do we put, okay, so that occurs on the time axis, so we should make that CT axis there. Keep on forgetting that. And so we just do the same thing. So it occurs on the CT dash axis, which is the time axis for the spacious. So we actually put the marks. And again, this is just kind of qualitative. I don't know if it's exactly, oops, right there. So, yeah, that answers your question.
So we put it at the 5, wherever it crosses, so it's the 6. We're crouching two different
ways. Why? Oh, yeah, okay. So that's kind of, okay, so that'd have to be 2 there. And then, so this is going to get very messy, but
you use your purple lines.
Incident.
Right, okay, yeah, that's true. Yep. Great point. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Okay, thank you for that.
And that's where T is.
Is that last documented where event B happens in reference to spaceship,
right? Yeah, absolutely, yep.
Okay.
Although the scale is wrong, because it's saying it took more time than moving frame. But
yeah, you get the idea. So it's just qualitative. So that's how we do it. So the only thing we haven't done is to draw a scale on the CT, the dashed axis. So, and so, actually, I'll use up another one. So just to finish up. Okay, so we have this here. So the only thing is I have no idea precisely how to get the scale, but one way of doing it, so we know that the Lorentz factor, if you have V of C equals 3/5, put it in the formula. Then what you get is 9 over 16 there.
25.
Sorry? Oh, right. Yep, thanks. 9 over 25, which gives you 5 over 4, so that's 5 over 4. So you know if we have CT, X, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 here, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 going down there, then.
And it should be in the center, right?
Sorry?
Well, you're putting tick 1, you're putting it at the third line, it should be at the 2.5.
Oh, right. I think you've been picky.
I do too.
So, that's what we have. So we have time dilation. So we know the time dilation. So because that formula tells us if we have basically 5 seconds is passing in our reference frame, in the spaceship reference frame, it will just be 4 seconds. So because less time has passed, it's time from our relative perspective is slowing down. So that this point here, simultaneous with in our reference frame, Earth's reference frame, with event in the spaceship reference frame, corresponds to the clock in the spaceship there ticking 4 seconds. And so we've got 4 seconds there. And so that tells us where kind of the fourth tick will be on the CT dash axis. And then it's a linear scale. So we have 4 seconds there. We can just divide that up into half, and then half again like that. And that gives us the scale on that axis. And when you actually do that, so we have something like 5 up here, and then we actually do that, then okay, let's find out that after 5 seconds, what's in the dash frame and the spaceship's frame, then what is time on Earth does that correspond to? Well, to do that, we have to again remember get a line parallel to the x dash axis. So that represents all the points where t dash equals zero time in the spaceship frame. So we just get a line here parallel to this, kind of draw that through there, and lo and behold, if you actually do that right, that goes through the point time equals 4. And so we have the symmetry, that even though it doesn't look like it, even though we actually have the tick marks stretched out in the spaceship's reference frame, you might think, well, hang on, you don't get the symmetry in time dilation. Basically, because you actually, is this kind of a weird frame, so it's not with the axes at right angles, they're kind of squished together. And so what happens is the way we mark our time, and all the points that happen at the same time, they're given by this line of the slope, the non-zero slope here. And so we actually trace that back. All these points have the line, and then we get the result we're looking for, that we on Earth, we see the spaceship time is slowing down. We see it as having time dilation, time is stretched out. But from the spaceship's point of view, all the inertial reference frames are equal. It looks back at us and thinks, hey, I'm not moving, the entire Earth is moving, and so your time is slowed down. You have time dilation. So for every 5 seconds it ticks for me, only 4 seconds ticks for you. And so you can see that there on the graph. Yes, Mark?
So on the plane experiment, if they would have taken the atomic clock onto the plane, the clock on the Earth would have been the slower one?
So that was actually a little bit complicated. So the so if you're just taking into account, well, so yeah, so we're actually they were measuring in Earth's reference frame. So if you just take into account effects of special relativity, then yeah, the one on the plane would have been slower as you said. But it was complicated. It was actually the other way around because general relativistic effects were actually more significant. But we won't worry about those. So if we turn them off, then absolutely right, the one on the plane would have been slower, just taking into account special relativistic effects. So, as you said, yeah.
I think you misunderstood the question. He said, from the plane's reference frame, the one on Earth is the one that's moving, so you expect the Earth to be slower.
So you're saying from the plane's reference frame?
Yeah.
From the plane's reference frame, then yeah, you do get the time dilation. So, but the point is, for the plane to actually slow down and stop, then that has to shift reference frame, so it can't stay in one inertial reference frame. But from the reference frame, just purely at the plane, you do get, it's symmetric.
If you could somehow throw the Earth's clock up into the plane, then would the Earth's clock be the slower?
Well, that would actually get complicated because you'd have to accelerate. So basically, these situations with the time dilation formula, again, just very simple situations where you don't have any acceleration. So as soon as you have acceleration, things get a little bit complicated. But then it all is consistent. So if I can have everyone's attention, So what we'll do now is, so this is kind of a nice point to stop. So we'll stop now, and we have a little session coming up. So this will be our break. So Glenn, would you like to take over?